anyway. I want to share about the presence of God in the secret place. A couple of weeks ago, I shared about Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 to 24, where it speaks about, let the wise man not glory in his wisdom, let the mighty man not glory in his might, and let the rich man not glory in his riches, but let him glory in this, that he understands and know me. And what a powerful scripture that it is, because it really speaks about the meaning of life. The meaning of life is not wisdom, it's not power, it's not riches. It is to understand and know God. And I want to share a little bit more about the knowing of God, because I think in the West, we understand a lot about God in our knowledge, in our seminaries, in our Bible school, in our courses, in our sermons. We know a lot about God. We have a great understanding of who God is. And if you go to Africa, you see there's a lot of experience. There's a lot of experience of God, and yet there's a lack of the understanding. And in the West, there's a lot of understanding, but sometimes a lack of the experience. And what I found is that in the lack of either one of the two, we get trapped in methodology. In Africa, there's a lot of noise and a lot of experience, but sometimes a lack of understanding. And in the West, again, we have a lot of understanding, but we have a lack of experience. And in lack of those two, we get trapped in methodology and method and noise and religion. And we get so dependent on methodology and facilitation that we sometimes no longer have the capacity ourselves to meet with God. And it's about that meeting with God in His presence that I want to share this morning. The presence of God in that secret place. Many know about God, about His power, and I've seen in myself and in many others that there is this growing hunger, not just to understand God, but to know God. Not just to grow in more understanding, but to grow in more knowing. And you need both to really know God. You need the understanding, but you also need the knowing. So I want to share about the presence of God, where this understanding meets with the knowing of God. Because it's in the presence of God that our understanding becomes knowing. It's not our understanding that brings us the presence. It is the understanding in the presence of God that leads us to the knowing of God. You know, that place where we meet with God personally, where we experience His presence, His closeness, where we hear His voice, where we speak to God and God speaks to us, where it becomes a two-way communication in a reality of the closeness and the living God. I want to speak about the presence of God, because I believe there is a growing hunger for that. Not just within my own heart, but in many others. And I believe that is what the church today needs more than anything. It's the understanding in the presence of God that brings us the knowing of God. Where our meeting with God moves from weekly to daily. That intimate secret place where we can all enter into. Your personal tabernacle of meeting. Your personal tabernacle of meeting. Where God is not distant, but where God is close. Where you can know Him. entering into the presence of God. I mean, right from the beginning of the word, we see that God is a personal God. God is a God that longs to be with His people. Not distant from them, but with them. I mean, right in the beginning, when God created everything, God was personally involved in the creation of man. I mean, God spoke everything into being, but when it came to man, He came down to the earth, He knelt down, He took some dust, He formed it, and then He breathed into it. It is such an intimate picture of God's desire to be with man. And He breathed breath into man, and man became a living being. Right from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, we see God walking with man in the cool of the day. Man knew God's presence. He knew His voice. God has a desire that we should know Him. Not just about Him, but to know Him. Not just to understand who He is, to know about Him, but to know Him personally. That's a desire of a loving God. To experience His presence and to hear His voice. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. Speaking of Adam and Eve. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. Actually, that word sound can be translated as voice. But they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. They hid themselves from the presence of God that they knew. Every day. When they heard God coming, when they experienced God coming closer, they hid themselves from the presence of God. And then the Lord God called out to Adam and said to him, He spoke to him, He said, "Where are you? Where are you?" Where are you? Why are you hiding from me? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. The whole Bible is a revelation of a personal God that loves us, that wants to meet with us. Everything in the Bible, it becomes so clear that this is not a distant God that is disassociating Himself with us, but this is a God that has a desire to be close to us, to be with His people. I mean, isn't that why Christ came? That's the real purpose of Christ coming to the earth, is to draw us back to God, because there was stuff that hindered us. There was stuff that prevented us. There was stuff that made us incapable of coming to God. So God sent His Son to remove the veil once and for all. That what separated man from God has been removed in Christ, that we can come to the Father again, that we can be in His presence. That's why He poured out His Spirit within us, that we can know Him. That we may meet with Him. It's about this meeting with God, this secret place in His presence that I want to share this morning, and I want to give some practical steps in meeting with God in His presence. Because each and every one of us has the capacity within us to meet with God. That's the way we were created. God created us in His image and in His likeness. He made us different to the rest of creation so that we have the capacity to know Him. Jesus says, "My sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me." We all have the capacity to know God. While we were in Zimbabwe, everybody spent time in Exodus chapter 33. Well, I also want to go back there in Exodus chapter 33 from verse 7. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp. And he called it the tabernacle of meeting. He took his own tent and he took it outside of the camp, far away from everything and all the distraction and the noise. And he pitched his own tent and he called it, this tent, my tent, will be called the tabernacle of meeting. The word tabernacle means dwelling place. It means where the presence of God is. He says, I'm going to pitch my tent there far away from everybody and I will call it the dwelling place of God. The tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose. Each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked to Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his own friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, he did not depart from the tabernacle. It's such a beautiful picture of Moses taking his own tent. I brought my tent. My wife doesn't like it. It's one of those expedition tents. It's meant to go through storms and hurricanes and mountains and everything. So it's very compact, light, but it's small. So I had to buy a bigger tent for the family. But this is my tent. Moses took his tent, his own tent. You know what? You don't need somebody else's tent to meet with God. You only need your own tent. You don't need somebody else to facilitate for you. You can just take your own tent and pitch it. So Moses took his own tent and he pitched it outside of the camp. Outside where there's no distraction. Away from the hustle and bustle of the busy life. Moses took his own tent where he could be alone with God. That's what Moses did. So nor do you need anybody else's help. Maybe I do. Thanks, James. Put that under that one. I'll put it under this one. See if we can pitch the tent without pigs. Moses was a bit better. Let's see. Where's my door? Moses took it outside of the camp. There was no distraction there. Could be alone with God. There was nobody to listen. Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus said, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Many take this verse literally. I mean, the Greek word for room there literally means the inner storage chamber or a closet or a secret room. Who've heard about the prayer closet? Well, they take it from this verse. And many take this literally, and they set apart for themselves in their own house a special room or a quiet place that they dedicate to their time with God. And yes, it has application. Yes, it can be appropriate, but the point is not a specific place. That's not the point. The point is a secret place. The point is a quiet place. The point is somewhere where you can meet with God on your own without the distraction and the busyness and the noise, where you can be alone with God. A meeting place. Meeting place free from interruption, distraction, and listening ears. I mean, this meeting place can be anywhere. It doesn't have to be a room. It doesn't have to be a tent. It doesn't have to be a building. It can be a bench in the garden. It can be the kitchen table. It can be in your car on your way to work. It's just a meeting place between you and God. Not a specific place, but a quiet place. Jesus usually went to a secluded place. In Luke chapter 4, we read now, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place where it was quiet, where there was no distraction. Luke 5, we see, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. In Luke 6, we see, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray. You see, Jesus went to different places. He didn't go to the same place all over again. He just went to a meeting place where it is quiet. A secret place where there's nobody around, where he can meet with God. It's not limited to a specific place, a church building, a mountain, or a temple. It's just a meeting place. A place of meeting with God. I mean, one of the attributes of God is his omnipresence. The omnipresence of God literally means that God is everywhere all the time. God is not limited to a particular time and space and location. God is everywhere all the time. All of God is everywhere all the time. God is spirit. He's invisible. But he is spirit. He's not physical. He is spirit. I mean, when God became physical was the incarnation through Jesus Christ, but God is spirit. God is everywhere, all the time. Every part of God is everywhere, all the time. As a matter of fact, God doesn't have parts. God is God. He's one whole being. It's not like one part of God is in South Africa and the other part of God is in China. No, God is everywhere, all of himself, all the time. God is everywhere at once. I mean, in Psalm 139, we read the following. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. You see, God is everywhere at once. God is everywhere, every part of God. The whole fullness of God is everywhere all the time. It doesn't mean that God is in creation. That is pantheism. You know, that belief says that God is diffused among the entire universe. You know, every part of the universe is part of God. God is like in every part. No, no, that's not God. God is not physical. He's spirit. God is not in the tree. He's not in the rocks. But he's around the trees. As a matter of fact, everything is in God, but God is not in them. God is bigger than all of creation. He's bigger than the universe. It's not that God is in heaven as a space, you know, because God is bigger than heaven. If God was in heaven, then heaven was bigger than God. No, God is bigger than heaven. As a matter of fact, heaven is where God is. Everything is in God. God is transcending everything. God is spirit. God is bigger than the universe. God is not in the universe. The universe is in God. God is around everything, everywhere, all the time. In Jeremiah 23, verse 24, we read, "Can a man hide in a secret place so that he cannot see him, so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord?" You see, God is everywhere. God is near. God is here. God is in this place. Psalm 145, we read, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." The point is that God is not distant. God is not somewhere out there, far away from us, in a different dimension, in a different world, separated by light years. No, God is everywhere. He's closer than what you think. God is here today. It is the supernaturally presence of God at all the places, all the time, at the same time. That's the ability of God, to be everywhere all the time. God can reveal Himself in one location and still be present in another location. It is true that God does, even though He's present everywhere, all the time, chooses to reveal Himself, to reveal that presence of Himself in a particular time and place. But that does not mean that God is bound by a particular time and place. As a matter of fact, God can be here in this church as well as in South Korea and in America and in China at the very same time. As a matter of fact, today is Sunday. And God is worshipped all over the world. And as a matter of fact, God can choose to manifest His presence at any particular place, at any time, all the time, while be present everywhere. But He chooses where He wants to manifest His presence. So there's a difference between the presence of God and the manifest presence of God. But God is present everywhere, all the time. He just chooses where to manifest Himself. That's why we can worship God on Sunday and experience Him all over the world, all the time, at the same time, and at different times. But God is everywhere. The point I'm trying to make is God is closer than what you think. He is closer than what you think. As a matter of fact, we all can call unto God and He hears us all at the same time. It's not that we're placed on hold every time we pray. Sorry, you are number 3,200,000. 333rd in the queue. God will be with you as soon as possible. Please do not hang up. No, God can hear all of us praying at exactly the same time. I mean, that's God. The point is, God is not distant. He's everywhere and He's close. He may reveal Himself more fully in a particular time and place, but He's not limited to a particular time and place. God is not limited to only early in the morning, off-peak time. That is a bit more busy during the afternoon, so it's better to get hold of Him in the morning or in the evening. Because it's off-peak, it's cheaper. The queues are not that long. It's a bit more focused. No, God is available all the time. Everywhere. All of Him. We can approach Him anytime. We can approach God at any time. We can approach God in any place. Because He's everywhere. David said, there's nowhere where you're not. Whether I go to heaven or I go to hell, you are there. There's nowhere I can hide from you because you are there. So God is everywhere. God is present everywhere, and He chooses where He manifests His presence. We all say Jesus taught us, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm with you. Well, I think we're more than two here today. As a matter of fact, there are more than two people in the Dutch Reformed Church just opposite us. Or the AGS Church, or Leven de Woord, or Live the Life. God is present then, He's present here all at the same time. All of God. It's not like His pinky is on that side and His ear is this side. No, no, God is everywhere all the time. But He chooses where He manifests His presence. In Exodus 33, we read something interesting, and it came to pass when Moses entered his tent. It's interesting when it came to pass. But every time Moses entered his tent, something happened. That the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord spoke to him. Isn't that amazing? Moses entered the tent and God responded. Moses went seeking the Lord, and the Lord responded by manifesting His presence in the shape of a cloud, and then He spoke to him. James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. You see, God responds to our seeking of Him. When we seek Him, He responds. He's everywhere all the time, but He chooses when to manifest His presence. And God chooses to manifest His presence when we seek Him. When we draw near to Him. It's not that He's distant. We are distant. In our hearts, in our minds, in our faith, we are distant from our ever-present God. And whenever we choose to draw near to Him, God responds to draw near to us, to manifest Himself to us. One thing we need more than anything when we meet with God, One ingredient that is more important than anything else in meeting with God, in experiencing God's presence. There's one thing that you need, and without this one thing, you will probably never consistently meet, experience God. And that one thing is called faith. It's called faith. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, we read that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The key ingredient is not the tent. It's not the building. It's not the place. This is nothing special. This is just the meeting place. The meeting place is not the important ingredient. The important ingredient is my faith. When I come to the secret place to meet with God, what is so important is that I must believe that God exists. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently enter, who diligently seek, who diligently comes to a place to know God. You see, we have natural senses. We have eyes and ears and taste buds and feeling. We are so familiar with our natural senses that we can pick something up and it registers in our brain what it is. And I believe that this glass, even though it is see-through, actually will hold the water and it won't collapse in my hand. Through experience, I've learned that what I've seen and experienced gives me confidence in the glass. And I know what I see in here is water. It's clear, so it's probably water. I smell it. It doesn't smell like whiskey or vodka, so I guess I can take a bigger slip. I don't know what vodka tastes like, but this is water. So through my natural senses, I know. But we have spiritual senses. We were created in the image of likeness of God that made us different to the rest of creation that only has physical senses. We have spiritual senses, and faith activates my spiritual senses. It is through faith that I start to see. It is through faith that I start to experience. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to know God. Because God is spirit. He is unseen. He cannot be seen by my natural senses, but He can by my spiritual senses. And faith is the thing that activates my spiritual senses so that when I come to this physical place, I come with faith knowing that God is everywhere. So I approach my secret place with faith. I approach Him with the knowing and the believing that God is here. God is real. God is everywhere. I come into this place knowing that He not only exists, but that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So I can diligently seek Him, knowing that eventually I will experience Him. It's not when I get to the tent, God must pitch. But He does for those who diligently seek Him. So faith is needed, but persistence is also needed. Throughout the Bible, we read of people who had a relationship with God. I mean, this whole book is full of people that knew God personally. I mean, Moses spoke to God face to face as a friend. Abraham heard His voice. Jacob saw dreams and visions. God spoke to David and John and Paul. I mean, Paul had an experience with Jesus in the desert. I mean, you can go through all the names. Jonah, Joshua, Philip. If you read the Bible, you can see that all of them had a personal relationship, at least to the same measure of having a relationship with any other person around them. I mean, somebody once said, I can't remember who it was, but it was always on God TV on their promos. The preacher said, you can be as close to God as anyone in the Bible. You can be as close to God as anyone in the Bible. Because God is not a respecter of man. He has no favorites. I mean, but you only need to believe that. And then diligently seek that. Because God says, I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek Me. And you can read the rest of Exodus 33. About Moses' heart to know God. He wasn't satisfied to know about God. He wasn't satisfied to know about the law and the characteristics of God. He wanted to know God personally. He said, God, show me Your glory. It's not enough to hear Your voice. I want to see You. I want to see You. And what did God do? God said, well, you can't see My face, but I will show you My presence. I'll show you My goodness. I'll show you My back. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. All these people in the Bible, they talk to God. But whether it was Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, David, John, Peter, Paul, after Jesus went to heaven, the Acts church, they not only spoke to God, but God spoke to them. And they heard God's voice and they responded to Him. Well, so can you. In our approach to know God, we must first believe that we can. I mean, that's the first step. After you found a little space, whether it's walking in nature or sitting in the garden or being alone in your bed, believe that He is real. Believe that He is all around you, that He is close and not far and distant. And then believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Then seek Him. Wait for Him. You know, the amazing thing is about the more we encounter God, the more we know Him. The more you encounter God, the more you know Him. It's like Pastor Kim and Dabin. I knew about them. I mean, they're in the church. They're from South Korea. He's a crazy missionary. Left everything. God spoke to him. Gave up his career. Very promising career. Gave up his statue. Gave up everything to become a missionary among the poorest of the poor. I knew about him. But it was amazing to spend a week with him and his son, because the more I get to spend time with him, the more I get to know him. I know a lot more about Pastor Kim than I did a week ago. And the only reason I know more about Pastor Kim is because I spend time with him. The only reason I know more about Dabin is because I spend more time with him. Because I had a personal encounter with him. And that's the amazing thing about God. It is so obvious and so simple, but yet so profound. The more you have an encounter with God, the more you know God. And yes, the Bible is the Word of God, the revelation of who God is, His character. And our understanding of the Word is so important that we understand who He is and we get to know of Him. Yes, but the Word in itself is not the end of itself. The Word in itself is meant to lead us to an encounter with God. It's not our ability to memorize and to understand what it is in Scripture that makes it alive. It is its capacity and its ability to bring us to encounter who God is. And it is in the encounter with God that we grow in our knowing of God. So I want to encourage you. Don't be satisfied with knowing about God. Because there's something far more than to just know about Him. There's something far more than just to have faith in Him. There's something far more than just to be saved. The whole purpose of salvation is not just to set you free from the consequence of sin. It's there to draw you near to Him. That we may know Him. My time's running out, but practically I'll say this. Find a quiet spot. Find somewhere where you can be alone. And that doesn't take long. If you've got a bicycle, trust me, 10 minutes and you're gone. There's not even a sound of a car. Find a place where you're alone. Take your Bible with you. Take your Bible with you. Open up The Word of God, which is the Word of God, communication, which is alive and powerful, which is living. Take the Word with you. Sit somewhere where you're all alone with the Word. Approach God in faith that He exists, that He's real, that He's everywhere. I mean, I love nature. I love doing this in nature because in the created Word, everything shouts and screams. Glory to God. And in that place where you are quiet in faith with the Word of God, approach Him that He is near. I mean, Moses, every time it says there, anyone wanted to speak to God, they just simply went to the space. So just go to the space with a desire to experience, to know, to speak to. And you know, if you can pray in tongues, just quietly sit and pray in tongues until you experience Him. Experience His presence, His closeness. And then speak to Him. Speak to Him. Speak to Him whatever is on your heart, whatever is there. If you can't pray in tongues yet, just pray with your understanding. Wait on Him. We've lost the art of waiting on God. We rush in, we rush out, and we miss God. Why not take some time and just... And listen, it doesn't need to take 2 hours. It doesn't need 2 hours. It can take 30 seconds. And all you need is faith and persistence. And the more you experience God, what I found my faith grows and all of a sudden God manifests quicker. I mean, because my spiritual senses have been exercised to see, to hear, to feel. So diligently exercise your faith in the presence of God. And that's the power of the capacity to pray in the Spirit, because it's our spirit connecting with God's Spirit. And I just found personally in praying in the Spirit, when I wait upon God, God's presence just draws near so more quicker than when I pray with my understanding. But it doesn't matter. Wait on Him, pray for Him, and when you sense His presence, speak to Him. It means you can access, meet with God at any time and any place. If you just approach that tent. Exodus. Can I ask the band to come forward? Exodus 33 verse 9. Is something powerful, and it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle. Something happened. Every time he entered into that tabernacle, it came to pass that the pillar of the cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. When Moses entered into the tent, and every time he entered into the tent to see God's face, God manifested His presence at the door of the tent. I mean, every time Moses came to see God's face, God manifested and he stood at the door of the tent and he talked with Moses. I want you just to close your eyes for a moment. Today we are also in a place of meeting. Nothing special about the building. Yet we come here for a purpose. We come here because something in us knows. For some of us, something in us desperately want to know. But we come to this place because we believe God is real. We believe that He loves us.